Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Many of you probably use verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4 quite a bit. I quoted it to Miss Margaret this afternoon at lunch. Do you remember this, Miss Margaret, when you came up to me after lunch and said, "I don't know if I'm able to help anywhere. I just don't know if I can do it. Wah, wah, wah."
Yep.
And I looked at Miss Margaret and I quoted Paul in Philippians 4:13. I said, "Margaret, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." Paul is writing and he's rejoicing over the generosity of a gift. He admits, he says in verse 10, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care has flourished again. Though you surely did care, you lacked the opportunity." There were many years in between giving opportunities for Paul in the church in Philippi, for he was rejoicing that they were partners in the gospel. And it just came at a necessary time. And it blessed Paul greatly. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer in need." Then he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I started thinking about that verse this week and thinking about the Christian in today's life, in the battles that we face on daily bombarding by the enemy. I hear the stories of what's going on in our families and in our workforces, and I actually kind of feel the angst and the agony in some of the battles that are happening. So I've been thinking, okay, how do I effectively minister to and lead? And I kept coming back to this verse, and this verse tells me the source of strength. Now, when Paul says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the word strengthen there in the Greek means to put power into. It means to have an outside source that is powering you. It's me having to take my power cord and having to purposely walk over to something and plug into it, because I don't have the power in me to accomplish the things that Christ would have me accomplish. And that's not always just the actual physical work of getting things done with my hands or with my legs. It is sometimes the strength to love that which is unlovable. It is the strength to forgive that which is unforgivable. It is the strength to power on when I have no more strength to go physically. The source of our strength doesn't come from the things that we do or don't do. It comes solely from Christ himself. And Paul would tell you through the other writings to the church in Corinth and to Timothy, where he's pastoring in Ephesus, to the church in Ephesus himself when Paul wrote, he said, "I need you to understand that your power in Christ comes from his word." I would invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, many of you know this verse, but I want you to see what Paul tells Timothy, the pastor, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you're a Bible driller, this is a verse. What, I don't even know what, is it this round or the previous round? Paul tells Timothy, he says, "Listen, Timothy, you need to understand that from early childhood," in verse 15, "you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And then he gives the one that we all know, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." All Scripture, so the Word of Christ, okay, the Word of Christ, he says in verse 15, which Timothy has been taught since childhood. So there's an important point I'm not going to hammer in right now. But when God's Word is put into and put into and put into and put into our life, and then we begin to put it into practice in our life, God's word, verse 16 says, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that, verse 17, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the source of our strength comes. So, you know, many of us in this room might have friends or loved ones or personally ourselves might be struggling with a should I or should I not? Kevin said, shall I stay or shall I go? And I went to the old song, shall I stay or stay? Thank you, Gail, you did too. We're not the only weird ones in the room. A lot of other people did too. But he says, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to go to God's word for instruction in righteousness, for example. What is the righteous thing to do in this case? What is the God-honoring thing to do in this case? For correction, okay, Lord, here's what I think. Here's what I think I need to do in this is where I'm gonna make this decision, God, and this is what I think I'm gonna do. How do I know I'm making the right? It's the word I just made. Decision. I got to go back to God's word. I got to be in God's word. I got to be searching God's word for direction. If I'm in God's word, He says He's going to give me correction. He's going to reproof me, rebuke me. He's going to sometimes slap me on the back, sometimes give me the, DeNozzo slap on the head if you're an NCIS fan. If you're not an NCIS fan, it's just the dummy. It's gracious, but it's the, hey, boom, wake up. When we're in God's word, He will give us that corrective action. He'll give us the you're not on the right path. You're headed for trouble. When we're in God's word and we're seeking direction from his word, He'll say, okay, around the corner up here is going to be an obstacle. This is what the obstacle will be, and this is how you have to go around or get through. Or you might want to make a left-hand turn up here because you don't want to make a right-hand turn. God will give us direction, correction, reproof. He'll give us instruction. And when we are being instructed, directed, corrected, and reproofed by God, you know what your life is? It's stronger. It's better. Because you're not being bogged down by baggage in your life that doesn't need to be there. You're not being weakened by the struggles that are unnecessary. You're not being bombarded by the things of the world that are trying to rob you of joy. So the source of our strength is Jesus Christ, but it is in His word that we can find great strength. But we can't just stop at His word. Paul says, it is in Christ that strengthens me. Christ wants to put His word into me. But then secondly, I have the example to be Christ-like. When I'm in His word, Jesus will show me how to be like Him. I'm reading this book by Francis Chan. It's called You and Me Together. And Francis brings this point out that there are 59 times when we, as the born-again, blood-bought believers, the church, the bride of Christ, we are commanded to do something to one another. We are commanded to love one another, to forgive one another, to encourage one another, to blank one another. 59 times we are commanded to do those things. Now, a lot of them are repeats, but each one of them is a character trait of God, a character trait of Christ. Now, if I'm being more Christ-like, if I'm being more like Jesus, am I going to be a stronger person or a weaker person? Right? So if I'm walking this earth as Jesus did, who was tempted in all ways, yet who knew no sin. If I'm battling with sin and I want to walk like Jesus walked, then I need to have the word of God engraved in my heart, right? Psalm 119:11, I will hide your word in my heart, O God, that I may not sin against you. If I'm going to be more Christ-like, I got to have more of Christ's word in me. These two things go hand in hand. The more of God's word that gets into me and applied to my life, and I start living by those principles, the more like Christ I come, the stronger of a Christian I become. The more, I really don't like to use this word, but it is biblical, godly I become. Peter says that the word of God is there to lead us, to give us giftedness that we might become more godly. So when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, my question was, how are you being strengthened, Paul? And then I started flowing through these other verses. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, it's this. And throughout his letters, he says, here's 59 one another's we can do. And I go, but gosh, golly, how do I love that person who's really making it hard to love? Anybody got one of those in your life? How do I forgive that dirty, rotten scoundrel or scoundrel S, if it's a female, I guess? How do I forgive them? Man, they're just really, really rough. You do it by his Spirit. Turn with me in to Ephesians. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and my life verse, I really wish it wasn't my life verse. I really wish God wouldn't do a Dirk and tap me on the shoulder every time and say, you need to work on this. But Paul, writing the church in Ephesus, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. How do I blank some one another? How do I love or forgive or encourage when I don't feel like it? How do I do that? Paul says you got to do it by the equipping power of the Holy Spirit. Remember when he said strengthens? That word to us, I don't know about you, but I think of a bodybuilder that goes to the gym and works on those things and does the exercises to get... That's not the word Paul uses. Remember, Paul uses the word that is an outside source that is being plugged into you. What is that outside source? The Spirit of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. This is Paul's prayer. He says in verse 14, this is why I bow my knees. And then in verse 16, he says, I'm asking that God would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, that you might be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Paul is saying, I understand that your life in this world is difficult. I understand you are facing trials and barriers and frustrations and anxieties and all kinds of things. And I am therefore praying to my God, the Father, that through his Son, Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, you would be internally strengthened. That you would have a supra or above natural power. Now, if we are seeking the supernatural power of God, the above man power of God in our lives, we're only going to find it by getting into God's Word. We're only going to find it by saying, okay, his Word says that I am to love. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find the easiest person to love and I'm going to start practicing. Do you know who the easiest person for me to love is? It's not you, 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 it's not him, it's her. Do you know who the hardest person to love? It's not you or you or you or you or you, it's her. Do you know why she's the hardest person to love? Because she knows me better than the rest of you. She knows what hurts me. I know what hurts her. She knows what blesses me. I know what blesses her. I have an opportunity for both ways, to practice easy love on the one that comes easiest to love and to practice hard love on the one that comes hardest to love. And you know, as a husband, you know who I'm called to practice on first and foremost and above all others? Dirt, that one. yours it. No, dang, she came. She's back there. Is that who you're pointing to? You're doing this? I go... You were pointing to me, making sure I love my... Yeah, well, you love yours and let me deal with mine. Okay? So this is where I start where it's easy, but then I recognize, oh my gosh, where it's easy is also where it's hard. So when God has given us this opportunity to put into practice what his word says, I'm telling you, look first where it's easy. But I'm telling you, that's not going to be always easy. So the source of our strength is from an outside source, that is Christ, who puts his Spirit in us. Oh, you could go back to Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37 and see where God says, I will, a whole couple dozen times. And it's all about this process of God taking you from your old, hard, nasty, dried up self and putting his breath of life in you and making you brand new and making you living and causing you to have a new heart, which causes you to follow his spirit, which causes you to walk in a new way. And it all reverts back to getting into his word and his word getting into your life. That is the source. Now, Paul says, I can do what through Christ who strengthens me? All. Now, how many is all?
Everything.
Oh, everything good?
Everything,
Marilyn said. Not just everything good. I love what Paul tells the rest of the churches in this. If Philippians chapter, look at verse, oh my gosh. Chapter 4. I got to go back to my Bible. Now he says, I know what it's like to be abased, and I know what it's like to abound. I know I've learned to be happy when I'm full, and I've learned to be happy when I'm hungry. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. Same author, just a different church. Now, man, this first letter to the church in Corinth, this church in Corinth was messed up. They really were. They had a whole lot of issues and a whole lot of problems. And yet Paul's writing to them because he loves them and he wants to encourage them. And he's writing them in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't know who I was having the conversation with this morning out here in the gathering place, but somebody was, wasn't it you, Jody, that was talked about God being a little sarcastic at times? Well, you find that throughout the Old Testament. Here, Paul picks up on a sarcastic thing that's happening in the church in Corinth. There are those in the church in Corinth that are apostles, if you will. I would call them little a apostles. They are fake. They are frauds. They are modern day prosperity preachers. They're modern day Joel Osteens. And everything. And so Paul goes, okay, you people in verse 8, he goes, you're already full. You're already rich. He says, man, you reign as kings. As if that was true, I wish it was. It says in verse 9. He says, but look at verse 10. We, he says, are fools for Christ's sake. You're wise, whatever. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, and we are dishonored. Verse 11, I said this on this past Wednesday night. To this present hour, Paul says, right now, in my life, Paul says, right now in my life, I am what? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I don't have the best clothes. I get beaten on a regular basis. I don't have a home. Verse 12, we labor. We work with our own hands. Paul was a tent mender. Wherever he would go, he wouldn't say, I'll come for a $25,000 speaking fee. He didn't do that. We have great religious leaders of our world today who will come and they will regale us with their wonderful thoughts if we pay them. Paul says, I'm going to come and I'm going to work my fingers to the bone that I might have the opportunity to express the gospel of Jesus with you. I will do this. He says, going on to verse 12, being reviled, when we are reviled, we don't revile back. We bless. When we are persecuted, we endure the persecution. When we are defamed, we entreat. We have been made as filth of the world, the offscouring or the scourge of all things now. He describes that's who he is now. So when he tells a church in Philippi, he goes, listen, I need you to understand. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am able, Paul says, to endure any trial right now because of Christ who imparts the strength of the Spirit into my life. I can be physically hungry, Paul says, not having been fed for days, and yet I am able to stand. Why? Because of Christ. I have nowhere, I have no family to call my own, and yet I am eternally loved by a ginormous family, Paul would say. Why? Because I have the brothers and sisters of Christ. It's one of the things that I battle with all the time is, you know, there are times in my own life when I just feel like no one cares. I just feel like no one loves me. You know, as a Christian, that is the biggest, fattest, hairiest lie from the pit of hell. Because if no one cares and no one loves me, what do I do with the scriptures that said that Jesus cares for me? What I do with the scriptures where I just described the love of God, I've literally just rejected them. This is why I say, man, I don't want to base my life on my feelings. They're there, but I want to know what truth is. And there are times when as a pastor or a minister, when just as a Christian, there are times when I feel like all these things are true in my life. And if I'm looking at that, my circumstance, rather than my Christ, I will not be strengthened by him. I will be weakened by my circumstance. Who wants their life dictated by circumstance when your life can be controlled by the King of Kings? See, Paul says, I know what it's like to struggle physically. I know what it's like. But every time Christ has come through. So when he says, I'm able to endure all things, he's able to endure any trial. But he also, Paul will tell you in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, just flip there with me for a few moments, I am able to overcome every temptation, any kind of variety of temptation that comes my way. Paul says, through Christ, I am able to overcome. Chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But hey, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Amen? Ain't that great? God will never give you more than you can handle, Dirk. Woo! Finish the verse. You will not be tempted. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation. So the way that it reads is God will put you in a situation where the temptation will totally overcome you unless you do what? Follow his prescribed way through it. How do you know God's prescribed way through it? What did Paul tell Timothy back in 2 Timothy 3:16? All of the word is there to lead you into all truth. For no matter what situation you come against, no matter what work comes against you, or no matter what work comes your way, the word of God is profitable to lead you. And if we are not in God's word, then when the world comes at us, and I can't tell you the number of times on a weekly basis this verse gets put back to me. It happened from Florida last week. Person calls, Pastor, I visited your church. Here's what's going on. Can you help me? We start to talking about the things that are going on in his life and the death of his mom and all these other things. He goes, you know, Pastor, I know somewhere it says in the Bible that God will not give me more than I can handle. I said his name and I said, my friend, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, and I read it to him. And he goes, well, that doesn't sound like what I remember. I said, why not? He goes, because it sounds like God's going to put me in a difficult situation that if I don't look to him, I'm going to fail. I went, that's exactly what it says. And Paul says, listen, I'm telling you right now that any kind, no matter the variety of the temptation that comes your way, I know that my God will get me through. All I got to do is keep my eyes on him. How do I keep my eyes on him? I'm looking in here. I'm trusting the Spirit of God. I'm saying, okay, God, I need some godly counsel. I need godly wisdom. I need a word from you. And do you know where I look for words from God? Not my wife, not the deacons, not Joel Osteen, not Franklin Graham. All those people are fully capable of speaking God's word. But if I want a word from God, I open up this book. And I open it up in faith. I open it up believing. I open it up trusting that in this book is the living word of God that will speak directly to my situation. And I am responsible for searching out that word. Now, when I find that word, it is also really cool that God has always seemed to be speaking to someone else, and God puts me in touch. Either they're texting me or emailing me, or sometimes he calls me. It seems to be this guy a lot, just simply because we always seem to be on the same page in Scripture for some reason. I think we're both the level of dummy, and God speaks to that level a lot. And the rest of you are way up here, by the way. I'm not saying that we're above you. We're way below you. The idea is we're always continually talking about what God is doing in our life. And so when God speaks to me, all of a sudden I want to call it a regurgitation from somebody else that's encouraging, but that doesn't sound very good. It's God speaking to someone else, and it comes and it confirms unto me God's word. I have never had someone walk up to me and go, "I got a word from the Lord for you, Pastor." I've never, and it might happen. It's never happened to me, but I have opened this word 1,000 times, and God has said, "I have a word for you, Darren." And it's always on these pages. Always. So no matter what temptation or trial is coming my way, I know, like Paul knows, do I put it into practice all the time? No. Do I fail? Miserably at times. I'm still alive, so therefore, God must be wanting to use my failure at some times to teach others. Thirdly and finally, the realm of my strength, where does it lead me? It led Paul. Again, I'm going to use 2 Timothy 3:16, but it actually causes me to be able to perform any sort of duty that God calls me to. Church, do you know that I think one of the greatest slaps in the face of our God is when His people say, "I can't." I personally believe that. I take Ephesians 1:3 that says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms are yours in Christ Jesus. And the realms of heaven are undefinable. And the riches of His glory are undefinable. And the blessings of His Spirit in those undefinable realms are undefinable. I know for centuries we have done spiritual inventories and we've listed what we believe to be the spiritual gifts. But the Scriptures say that they are undefinable. So no matter what situation I find myself in, as don't take Paul's letter to Timothy saying only pastors. It is the people of God. So when the Word of God is given and is profitable for all these things to fully equip and complete, that word complete is perfect. That means I, through the Word of God, can do anything Christ calls me to. I think it's a huge slap in the face when we as Christians say, "I can't," when God has called us to it. Better make sure God's calling you to it. But too many of us sit around and we go, "I'm to this, I'm to this, I'm to this, I'm to this, I'm to this." When God says, no, "I've given you everything. You're not too poor. You're not too dumb. You're not too whatever." Huh? Tired? In our own strength, we are what? Ignorant, weak, tired, lazy, whatever you want to do. Stupid. I don't know. Is that a bad word? S word? No. Lack of knowledge. Low information. Duh, in and of ourselves, we are those things. But Paul says, wait a minute. If you are a born-again, blood-bought believer, if you are a child of God, if you are the part of the body of Christ, if you are His bride, you have been strengthened by the Spirit of God in your inner man. The Spirit of God has plugged into you, and you are fully resourced and fully equipped for everything God will call you through. So when we say, "I can't," we're telling God, "I don't believe that what you've done in my life or what you're putting into my life is enough to do what you called me to. Therefore, God, I reject it." It's amazing what doesn't get done that God says, "It's what I want for you." I mean, does God want for the people of Christ to have powerless, empty, worthless, meaningless marriages? Why are we no different than the world right now in the church when it comes to our marriage statistics? Do we just not take God at His word? Pastor, you understand, man, my marriage stinks. It's hard. He's terrible. She's awful. I wonder how Christ, in Romans chapter 5, how the Bible says how God looked at us before Christ came into our lives. Oh yeah, it says we are his enemy. You want to read some of those verses that we talked about tonight? Who was it that read out of Hosea? Should we go back and see how Paul describes us in 1 Corinthians? The modern day church look too much like the modern day world, and the only reason is because we're not taking God at his word. The cool thing is, man, all we got to do is stand right here and go, all right, God, plug in. Stick your plug right here in my heart. Cause your spirit right here to take root and begin to energize me. Wouldn't it be cool if we were all walking around like the Energizer Bunny? Wouldn't it be great if when we walked into work tomorrow, wherever that was, people looked at us and said, what is wrong with you? And we went, Jesus. What do you mean? You don't understand. I have supra, meaning above natural power, coursing through my body right now. Want to touch me? Maybe you're like, you sick. You got troubles. Call the sheriff, put him on a 96-hour hold. That's cool. Them people need Jesus too. But just what if? Pastor, I just think you've gone nuts. I promise you, if we would just start living, I'm not pointing at you, I'm saying if we would just start living how the Bible says that we can live, whoo! Wow. Wow. People would be amazed. They'd be dragging. They'd be dragging, they're lost, and they're sick, and they're broken, and they're hurting. They'd be dragging themselves. Oh my gosh, you people really believe this. Yeah, we really do. Yeah, we really do. When the Powerball gets up to $300 and some odd gazillion, don't raise your hand because I don't want to know your sin level. And I also don't want to feel guilty about my sin level and your righteousness. But when it gets way up there, if someone were to walk up to you and go, I've been in a DeLorean. I've seen this day before. Here's the numbers. If some of you don't get that, it's Back to the Future reference. You're going to go play the numbers. You're going to go play the numbers. Why? Because it's important. Because you can tell God all the fancy things you're going to do for him with that money. If you're starving and you haven't eaten in months, days really, you're thirsty, and someone walks in the room, puts a loaf of bread or a cup of water on the table and says, it's all yours, how long are you going to wait until you pick that thing up and put it in you? We as the church have been given God's word. We have been given his example. We have been given his spirit. We've been given his might. All we're called to do is use it. Father, help us. It takes practice, God. And unfortunately, the church plays like it practices. We don't put all of our effort into it. We don't hunger for it. We just kind of go through the motions. Therefore, we're a church that goes through the motions in our everyday life. Father, you have given us. Now, Father, put it into action. Show us where right now in our very life your power, through your word, by your spirit, can move mightily, must move mightily, needs to move mightily. Show us, God. Put it in our hearts. Put it in our minds. Put it before our eyes. Speak it into our ears. Where it is, Father, that you want to move mightily in and through us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Get, go. Go put it into work, into action. Watch the entire Royals game tonight, will you? Don't be like me.